want to talk about Mass Effect more.
Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 117.
Hello.
My name is Christopher Keough, and I am here with Travis Baum.
Hey.
And Jeff Chorney.
What up?
Today we are talking about franchises and series that we would like to see die because, you know, I don't know, many different reasons, mostly because we hate them or something like that. Before that, we're going to be talking a lot about some of the games we've been playing this week, and then we're going to do some news. And then after the feature, we'll talk about new releases, and then we'll do some listener email and a new question of the week that is worth $20 to you guys. Keep that in mind. But before we get into the show, hey, Travis, I need to ask you, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, buddy, doing great. And the only thing I'm going to talk about, and it's something that we don't really talk about very much, because I remember when I was just listening to podcasts last year, like for months and months before MGC, it was being talked about. Not really many people are talking about it right now, but I am going to right now. I bought my MGC. I didn't get my tickets, but I got my plane tickets today. Yeah, I got my plane tickets today, so I'm pretty much official.
Wootage.
Yeah, very, very big wootage there. I'm pretty much official. Found out what flight Jason and Lisa got today, and their receipts available. So I said, you know, fuck it. I'm gonna go for it. 4 days off. I have to take off for work, but it's gonna be worth it. It's gonna be a good time. So.
I are sad.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Well,
we're still working
yet.
On it.
It's you know, it's one of those things where it's more important that, you know, Liam be healthy than you go to MGC. So, you know,
yeah, you don't have to justify that. You're having a kid. That's all you had to say.
If you don't understand, go fuck yourself.
It was such a funny time too, because I think I was around Jason, like the day I found out about it. We were going to Battle and Brew for like a geek trivia for a Wednesday, and I stepped out with Jason for a while, and it was literally hours when I found out the news about Liam coming, and I was sitting there outside with Jason while he was smoking a cigarette, and I'm counting on my fingers. I'm like, Trey Fairy Marjo. Oh my God! Do you know when this baby's gonna be born? Jason's like, yeah, March MGC. Yeah. And we're like, oh, that's gonna be a problem. So, but yeah, it'll. You know what? I'm positive about it, Chris. It's gonna happen, buddy.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. You know, they said that the way that we want to do it, they say that he has to be at least 37 weeks. We are currently, I think, we're gonna be 35 as of tomorrow. As in Friday, this past Friday. And, you know, we'll see what happens. You know, it would be great to go to MGC, but I'm more concerned about him just being ready and, being healthy. So,
yeah.
You know, that's the most important part. And, you know, Crystal and I have already made the agreement that the only way that I'm going to MGC is if he's at least a week early. So right. My cutoff date is the 19th. If he's not born by the 19th, then, I'm staying home. So. You know, we'll see how it goes, and you know, it's all about Crystal and Liam this month. So, in the month of March, it's all about them. So, we'll see what happens.
And Kratos,
of course. You know,
Crystal's sitting right next to you, right? That's why you're talking like that. I know deep inside you're like, no.
No, I seriously, and I'll get to some more of that later. But continue cool. What you're doing.
That's it, man. I bought the tickets today, and just been working. Been real busy. So
cool. That's all it, right, man. Jeff, how about you, man?
Working over the weekend, watched the NBA All-Star festivities, had some people over, ate a lot of tacos and stuff, and cheese and dips and nacho chips, and watched what quite possibly could have been the worst All-Star weekend ever. So it was bad. It was like the dunk competition. Like, we had DeMar DeRozan, he's our rookie, the Raptors rookie this year, and he's a pretty good dunker. And he's in the dunk competition this year, and we're like, all right, we're going to bring it back to Toronto, because, like, there hasn't really been a good dunk competition. Well, the one that Vince Carter won was awesome, then the one with the original one with Dwight Howard of Orlando, that was a really good one. And I thought, okay, this one's going to be pretty good. There's some good dunkers in it, but it was boring. The same guy who's won it the past 2 years, Nate Robinson, won it again on the same stuff he's been doing every year, and wasn't creative, so we ended up watching a lot of the Olympics instead. And the actual All-Star game was It was actually not too bad. It wasn't as exciting as I thought, but it was pretty. It came down to the wire, and my man Chris Bosch hit the two free throws to seal the deal for the East, and they came away with the victory. Didn't get MVP though. That's okay. That's all right. Next year.
Cool.
But yeah, that's it, man.
All right.
What about you?
We have a. We're not calling it a shower. We're calling it a party. We're having a baby party.
Nice.
This weekend. And, you know, we've been getting ready for that for the past week or two and, just had something, you know, if I wasn't excited enough, you know, I had, a moment today. One of our close friends, Serena, is going to be out of town this weekend, so she won't be able to make it. Well, her and, Jason's wife, Lisa, and one of our other friends, Tina, apparently got together and went in on a joint effort for a baby party gift or a shower gift, however, what do you want to call it? And they wanted to give it to us together, before she went out of town. So they came over today and they gave us a box to open up, and we opened up the box. And the first thing I pulled out is this, if you heard Crystal say it, it's kind of like a hanging set of picture frames. It's like five different picture frames that are all hanging from a wire. And they're double-sided. And, in each one, there's a little 8-bit video game icon. So it's
nice.
Like, on the top one, it's like, one side will have a 1-up mushroom and the other side has like the question mark block.
That's
and then awesome. The one below it is empty, so we could put a picture there. And then the one below that has like the Triforce on one side and a heart container on the other. And then
nice.
There's another picture frame at the underneath. And then the one below, the last one is like Chocobo and Moogle on the bottom one. So that was really cool. And you know, I was really happy about it and really excited. And they were like, oh, wait, well, there's more. So I dig deeper into the box and takes out some more of the tissue paper. And out comes this huge quilt with all of the same symbols sewed into it. And it was just, it was remarkable. And, you know, just, you could see, like, I have a great picture of it too. You could see just the amount of effort that they put into doing this. And it was incredible. And, now Crystal is like, oh, well, we might need to change the theme of the bedroom now. We might have to get to a video game theme. So.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, man. You guys, Travis, you'll see it on Saturday when you guys come over. If you come over, I think you are. You said you are, right?
Yeah, I am. Megatron's not coming over.
Okay, cool.
Her dad's birthday or something.
Okay, well, you'll get a chance to see it. It's really freaking impressive, man.
I can't believe it.
You're totally not giving that to Liam.
Crystal's
you know you're not
it.
Going.
She's
to.
Like, this is mine.
Well, half a baby presents for like, you know, newborns, the gifts are mostly for like, you know, even if it's like a baby shirt, it's the parents that are excited about it. Like the baby don't care. Like,
I love the jungle gyms and like the little like things that hang from cribs and you hit them. I have one of those in my bed.
No, but yeah, that was a very good way to end the day, and that's. I was actually a little bit late coming online for the podcast, and that was the reason because they were still hanging out with us. If I wasn't already excited enough, now it's just increasing now as we get closer. So it's an awesome feeling. It really is. But
awesome.
Enough about that. Let's talk about games.
Yeah, enough about real life.
Yeah, this is a gaming podcast, not a baby podcast. So we'll get on with that. Travis, what are you playing, man?
Video games. I didn't talk about it last week, but, driving, riding to and from, New Orleans, I was playing a lot of, pocket games and everything. And, I brought a whole bunch of games. I rented Zelda and all that stuff to play on the DS. And I didn't play any of my PSP games. I played nothing but Hotel Dusk.
For real?
Yeah.
Can you beat that already too?
No. Megan was playing it, and I was like, "Well, Megan, can I borrow your DS? You know, while I'm going down there, it's a long drive there and back. I'm going to take Hotel Dusk. I'm going to start a game on there." And I played about a good 6 or 7 hours total.
Wow, nice, man.
Yeah, and I'm really enjoying that game. Like, the story is really good. The music is really aggravating. Like, because you're sitting here and you're kind of like in a serious scene, and you have like this.
Yeah.
Just the worst music playing in the background, and it really kills the mood. But other than that, the game's great. I love the the Take On Me video animations, like it looks like that old 80s video. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And it looks like that, yeah. So I'm really enjoying that. I haven't played it too much. I played it maybe about an hour this week, but I really need to play it more. It's fun. Getting back into Madden since the Saints won. I've been like really wanting to, you know, get back into football. And it is, I am so sad to say that it's pretty much an inevitability that Drew Brees is going to be on the cover of Madden next year.
Probably.
Yeah. And it's pretty much inevitability that he's going to be injured for the season. And there go your Saints.
And there go the Saints, yeah.
That's scary how, like, everyone, like, it's a superstition and whatever, it's a curse,
but it's,
if you look at the record,
consistent.
It's bang on.
Yeah. And they put two people on the cover this year that kind of, you know, try to, like, break the curse. But, yeah. And, of course, nothing happened to Larry Fitzgerald this year. He actually had a pretty good year, but Troy Polamalu was out almost 12 games and was probably the sole reason why the Pittsburgh Steelers played like balls this year.
Yeah.
And if that's not a curse, I don't know what it is. So, you know, and then, of course, the years before that, and it's consistent as gravity, I think. And I'm really not looking forward. Now, I'd love to have a Madden game with Drew Brees, a Saints Madden on my shelf. It's going to look great. Don't get me wrong. But, man, I'm not looking forward to that whatsoever. That's going to be horrible. He's going up against Jared Allen, a defensive lineman, and he's going up against Reggie Wayne, which I can see Reggie Wayne maybe giving him a run for his money, but since the Saints won, there's no way.
And because he got Super Bowl MVP.
MVP, and then, of course, the pictures with his son at the podium and whatnot.
Yeah, like, that was awesome, by the way.
That was great. And but after all that happening, oh, he was on Ellen the other day. He's going to be on the cover of Madden. Anyway, I didn't watch it, though. I don't watch Ellen.
Yeah, because all the Ellen watchers are going to jump on to EA and vote for Drew Brees video game set.
But the last thing I've been playing, which took up most of my time this week, because I played all the way through it, was Bioshock 2.
Nice, okay.
Which I am writing and finishing up a review, so hopefully by the time this podcast is out, the review will be up on interactivedistractions.com. I guess, Jeff, you playing it too. We talked about it earlier because I wanted to ask you if you played it a little bit.
I'm a few hours in. A
few hours into it. We'll just talk about mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
So,
sure. Did you like it overall? Like, don't tell us your score, what you're giving it, but did you really like the first one?
I loved the first one.
Okay.
Loved the first one. Loved the world they introduced us to. You know, the city that Andrew Ryan built. It had a... just the theme, the tone, the setting, everything. Like, I mean, I remember before the game even came out playing the demo, because the demo was like the first, what, half hour of the game? And, you know, it was the plane crash, it was the, you know, going into the pitch black room and all the lights coming on, just like the big statue of Andrew Ryan. And it was a great, great intro, not to the game, but to the world. And my first impressions, my first hour into it, was like, man, okay, I've been here before. So the magic is gone. It looks great, but it looks exactly the same as Bioshock 1. Like, there are zero graphical improvements.
I actually think Bioshock 2 looks worse than Bioshock 1.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
I'm having terrible frame rate issues. Have you noticed when you have more than two or three splicers on the screen, especially when you kill them and, you know, they're supposed to ragdoll to the ground? Like, it's damn near close to just the frame's terrible. Like, it almost drops down to, like, 20 or 30 frames.
Really?
It's horrible.
Oh, 30's good. 20's not that bad either.
No, dude.
Most games don't even run at 30.
Well, I don't really know frame rates. I was just trying to cut it down to half. I don't know.
30 frames is pretty standard.
It's pretty standard, yeah.
Pretty standard? Okay.
I haven't noticed a huge drop. I've noticed some drops, especially if I'm using like a lot of plasmids and stuff like that, but it's nothing that's unplayable and not to the point where it reaches like it's like going in slow motion.
Wait till towards the later half of the game when you start throwing a lot of guys at you, like you'll have you'll have about two or three regular splicers, and they'll throw in one of the Titan splicers, like the bigger guys at you. Yeah, and then you know they're throwing stuff at you and everything. That's when it starts getting a little choppy. It does get a little choppy, and it gets to the point where it's like really, really bad, and it will get that way.
I haven't checked Does this have the option that the first one did? Because I know the first one you could have the option to turn off. I can't remember what you're turning off. Maybe the V-syncing or something else, but it basically made the game run in 60 frames per second. But it didn't look as good. It turned off. It either lowered the special effects, or maybe even the resolution would bump the frame rate to 60.
I'll be honest with you. I didn't even look. I didn't even notice that was an option in the first game. Is that on the 360 as well?
Yeah, it's on the 360. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
Sounds like a very PC thing.
Totally. That's why it surprised me they even had that. I'm pretty sure it's something to do with the V-Sync. You can turn it off or on, as well as some other thing. I didn't play. I played in the 30 frames because I thought it looked better overall, like much better overall. But it did run smooth on 60. But now, anyway, that's a little bit of a sidebar.
But going back to the game, though, like I said, we talked about it with, like, you know, Heavy Rain last week, like characterization and storyline. That is number one for me. Gameplay will take a little bit of a backseat because I really want to be drawn into the world, which I am drawn into the world, but the magic is gone because in the first game it was new, it was fresh.
The novelty's worn off.
And with this one, that's not the case. But they did improve the game. The problems that, you know, that I had with the first game, gameplay-wise, it wasn't that... I mean, it was okay, but it wasn't like, you know, a great, great shooter. Like, it wasn't like... The way you shoot somebody, like, you know, there was some sort of, there's a little bit of an aim assist that I felt there was in the first one, but in the second one, you have to be pretty damn spot on with this. And on top of that,
that's just, weird too. I think I felt the opposite in that.
You felt the opposite? Actually.
Yeah,
really?
I thought the first one you had to be way more precise and way more bang on, whereas this one felt more like a console shooter.
Well, the reason I felt that way is because they added in this game being able to switch to your iron sights. Which wasn't in the last game.
They can switch to your iron sights in this one?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
You click the right, the R3 button.
Oh, crap. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, you have to really be precise because you go to iron sights. Every weapon, every single weapon has the ability to do that. And it's really bitching, dude. It's awesome.
I didn't even know that. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do have to be a little more, like, especially when you get like the spear gun, you have to use your iron sights.
Haven't got that yet.
Yeah. It's an awesome weapon. But then the ability they added to pretty much dual wield, where you can use your plasmas and your weapons at the same time, to me is the biggest.
That is huge.
Huge, because that was the worst part of BioShock 1. Like, it's great. They gave us this awesome thing. You can use weapons or you can use, you know, magic pretty much, but you have to swap hands, you know, one at a time with this one, being able to, like, fire electricity and then shoot your shotgun all at the same time. Fantastic.
Another thing to do with the plasmids that kind of just doesn't have that same effect is I love the first one how when you were like jabbing yourself with
the needles.
It's like, yeah, the hypo, they actually jab them right in their wrist and do it, and this, it's like
he's
inserting it into this thing. Actually, no, he just restarted. It doesn't even show him actually use it, but like even when he gets all the different plasmids, it just shows him put the needle in this little insert thing and gives it to him. And you know, like when you're using the bees one from the first one, your hand is all messed up looking, and like they're coming out of your hand, it's all gross. And
well, that still does, that still happens in this game. You have the bees coming out of your hand.
No, but does it show, like, is it the gross looking, like, they actually come, like, because the first one, it's your human hand with flesh. This one, your big guy's wearing a glove and stuff.
Yeah, he has holes in his glove. He has, like,
I haven't got that yet, so that's cool.
Yeah,
if he has holes.
Yeah, he has big holes in the middle. Like, well, if you have Incinerate, if you look, he has, like, little holes in the tips. Yeah, he has little holes in the fingertips and a little hole in the palm of the hand. And
does that go away magically?
Yeah.
When you switch melasmids?
Yeah. No, you want to know what is funny to me? Okay, you have your weapons on your right arm, but you can have the drill on your right arm, but suddenly you can pull out a gun and have it there. Like, where does the drill go? Like, like the drill's supposed to be attached to his hand. Like, the drill's supposed to be his hand.
Yeah, I know. But
yeah. And the drill's cool.
He should have, like,
all
the drill, like, attached to his forehead. That's where it actually is. And just, like,
and the
big headbutts.
And the drill's pretty neat.
I love the drill, man. I use the drill a lot.
I do too. And actually, there's a plasmid you can get later in the game that makes it to where you're efficient. You're mad efficient with drill, but it's the only weapon you could use.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't use plasmids at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be really, really good. If you like it.
I think I basically told you before I started recording my. Like, I'm actually really enjoying BioShock 2. I'm not going to say more so than 1 yet, but I'm having more fun playing the actual game in Bioshock 2, whereas the first one, I was more enamored with Rapture and the whole thing, like you said, when you're going down, like, get the crash, you go down and all that stuff. It's like, wow, this is a really cool moment. And like you, I didn't get that from the second one at all. There hasn't really been any really big set pieces that I've seen, but I've heard it gets better towards the end. You've said that, and I've read it elsewhere that the last third of the game, it really picks up. But
yeah, and it's the complete opposite of the first game, where the first game, like, they gave you some great set pieces. They gave you this, you know, great levels, good situations, and then after the plot twist, like the last quarter of the game is pretty much it's bad. It's like a generic shooter after that, but it's complete opposite. To me, I think the first 3/4 of this game are pretty generic, but when you get to that last fourth, man, does it take off. And then just the action itself or the levels are just created better. You can tell they put a lot more time and effort into this, the way the levels look. I mean, it's amazing. It's such a stark contrast. You'll see it, and we'll talk about it more. Maybe, you know.
I stopped playing the first one because the gameplay was, I liked it, but I got to a point where my save game, you know, how you basically get born again through those viral chambers, whatever. And then I had like no ammunition of anything, and I was in the middle of fighting a big daddy, and I didn't want to just beat it down with my wrench, so I just stopped playing, and I got sick of the hacking and stuff. But this game makes the hacking fun, and you can do it in the middle of a battle, which is awesome. Yeah. I think that's like. The stuff that was really tedious and monotonous in Bioshock 1, they totally removed and put in stuff that's not only fun, but you can do pretty much whenever you want to and not have to worry about going into some other sub-menu or something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
I attribute a lot to, like, I mean, we saw the same kind of things with Mass Effect 2. And because we had to talk about Mass Effect 2 at some point in the show, so I'm going to say it now, is they streamlined a lot of stuff that was tedious in Mass Effect 1. And 2K did the same with Bioshock 2. And, I'm liking it so far. I'm hopefully by next week I'll have it beat so we can talk about it more in depth. Yeah. And
the last thing I want to mention about the game, the audio, there is...
I love it.
Nothing about the audio that is not absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
From the audio tapes you find, everything to me is just like acted, and the lines are read perfectly. All the way to the sound, the weapons sound really good. The drill sounds great when you're drilling into somebody's chest. Up to the point where like you're walking in a corridor and there's water.
Chris is still here.
Yes, I am.
and there's water dripping from the ceiling. And if you walk under it, it's one of the few moments where you actually feel like a big daddy.
Yeah,
you actually hear the water going ding 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 off the top of your helmet.
Yeah.
It is like one of the few times you actually feel like a big daddy.
Because you don't feel like a big daddy at the beginning of the game, that's for sure.
No, not
at all.
You feel
like a weak-ass mofo.
Not when two splicers, or one splicer for that matter, with a 2x4 can take you out in 5 seconds. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
I hear ya.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it, though. More than I thought. I mean, I wasn't going to get the game, and I read all the reviews, and like, oh my god, it's doing it again. I'm getting bit by the hype machine, and and the reason, like, I got... The first one, yeah, there's a lot of hype behind it, stuff like that, but this one, I was like, you know what? I guess I expected it to be crap. Like, I expected it to be really, really, really crap. And I read all the reviews, and I'm like, no, it's actually pretty good. And the ones that got me to buy were the ones that I concentrated more on gameplay and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? That's the reason I stopped playing the first one, because I got frustrated. So let's try it. I'm liking it.
Cool.
I have trouble looking at the box art and not thinking Bomberman.
Or, the first one's like that, too.
Right. So, I mean, I guess we'll talk more about it next week, like when you get further in the game.
Yeah, I'll probably beat it by next week. I'm pretty sure I can kick that one out. I have no big plans for the weekend, so.
Cool.
I'll nerd it out big time.
Nice. Well, that's all for me, man. What else have you been playing?
Oh, dude. Besides Bioshock, I finished up Dante's Inferno.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that actually, surprisingly enough, that review is going to be up soon. I just need to, or someone just needs to edit it, and then it's good to go. It's what kind of like we expected overall.
It's God of Inferno.
It tries to be so much like God of War, and it does borrow a lot of things that, and it does it really well. Mainly the combat. The combat is a lot of fun in this, but it doesn't quite get to that level. Like I would. if for 360 owners only who have never played a God of War game, I'd recommend this game in a heartbeat. But at the same time, I would tell them, do not judge God of War based on this game, even though it is a good clone.
Well, yeah.
And it's just like, don't think this is what all the crazes and everything about God of War, because God of War 1 and 2 are, to me, masterpieces of gaming. They're just almost perfect from beginning to end in like every aspect. And Dante's Inferno by no means is perfect from beginning to end, and it doesn't even come close to really touching that, but it gives you a good idea of what God of War plays like. It's like the equivalent of like a fighting game clone going after Street Fighter, if that makes sense. Like a good clone. Like, it's not quite Street Fighter, and it's not really even close to Street Fighter, but it gives you the right idea.
I like that analogy a lot, actually.
It's just kind of, yeah. The problems with that game really come in the second half of it. The first half, I think, starts off really strong. And then the last bit of that game, I was literally thinking to myself, I you know what, I just want this to be over with so I can start Bioshock 2. And that rarely happens with me if a game is like really good. But I'm not saying the game is bad, because it's not bad. You'll see when the review goes up. It's a pretty decent game. I do not agree or disagree with the reviews that are out there. I'm thinking average-wise, it's sitting pretty much where I think it should be. So, yeah, check it out. I can't tell people to buy it right away, especially with Bayonetta just like, you know, behind us, and God of War 3 is coming up really soon. If you have a PS3 and you have, you know, unless you really like that type of gameplay like a lot, you might just want to like maybe rent it or pick it up on the cheap. But It was decent. Like, it entertained me. It was a lot shorter than I thought, because the game on normal, this is something I didn't mention in the review, so I'll mention it now. The game on normal is hard. It is, but it's not hard. It's hard because it's frustrating hard in the way that some of the puzzles are done hard. Where, like, you remember the puzzles in God of War where you'd have to turn a crank or push something, but at the same time you have to fend off, like, a bunch of enemies?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the downsides of God of War. Those puzzles really tick me off. This game is filled with them. And drives me insane. So it got to the point where I'm like, you know what, screw this. I'm going to easy. Because if I don't, I'm going to throw my controller through the TV screen, or I'm just going to stop playing this game. And yeah, I got through the game in probably about 6 hours. Maybe even less than that. I'm guessing around six. I got to check my final stats. It was somewhere between 6 and 7, I believe. So it's not the longest game in the world. You can pretty much blow through it. And there's a couple things even at the end, which I don't mention in the review, which I will mention now, that prolong the experience, but you can clearly tell that Visceral was like, we need to make this game longer. How do we do it? This is how we're going to do it. We're going to make you fight these 9 trials, one after the other, in which you'll fight wave after wave after enemy, and you have to complete these certain trials in a certain time frame to get past it. So, you know, like those trials in Darksiders where it's like, kill 3 enemies using a counter?
Right, right, right.
It's like that, but at the end of the game, and you have to do 9 of these in a row.
That's annoying.
And it's all, yeah, it's really annoying.
Like, I understand that for like a tutorial basis, you know, when at the end of the game, it doesn't make any sense to do it.
Exactly, and that's what I was talking to somebody. I'm like, it makes sense if you put this at the beginning of a game, and it's like, this is how you teach you something, then you have to try it out to make sure you got it. You don't throw this stuff at the end of the game. Some stuff, it's stuff they don't even tell you during the game. They're like, here, just do, stay in the air for 8 seconds. Like, okay, well, you didn't really teach me air combos during the game, but you'll figure it out. There's a really easy way of doing it, but I mean, stuff like that just kind of boggled my mind. And there's a part where you have to cross a bridge, and you have to tippy toe. It's the only time you do this in the game, it's at the very end. And it's okay, maybe minor spoilers. It's not really spoilers, not spoiling anything, but I know there's some people out there that get
you're in hell.
Freaked out of the shit. Yeah, exactly. There's an ice bridge, and you're in hell. And yeah, you're in hell. Oh my god. And you're crossing this bridge, and parts of it are falling, but you walk so slow. This ticked me off for 2 reasons. One, you walk so slow, if you step on a block that starts to fall, you barely have enough time to turn around and get off that before you die. If you die, you're back at the beginning. So, it's back at the beginning of the bridge, and we have to restart. But this bridge is pretty long, and it takes a few minutes to get over it. But at the end of it, I'm like, what was the point of this? And the only thing I could possibly think in my mind is that it's like, we have to extend the gameplay by about 5 minutes. What do we do? Throw a bridge out there that crumbles, and it takes a while to walk across.
It doesn't
all right,
make
cool.
any sense. Why would they?
No. It doesn't at all. If you play the game, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about, because it does not fit in anywhere. Like, it just does not make sense, because the only time that character has that animation of walking across the bridge, like, kind of tippy-toe really slow, and yeah. But it is, overall, it's a good game. I'm coming down harsh on it, I guess, but because I guess I had really high standards for it. But it's a pretty decent game. Definitely worth checking out, at least on a rental basis, for sure. Especially just for the subject matter. Because I thought the way they portrayed hell was pretty cool and creepy as hell. Well, there you go. Pun totally intended there, I guess. But, yeah. More Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. That game is so good. I just wish it was on 360 or PS3.
Me too.
Wish it had good online.
Yeah. It's, even when the online is good, it's like, oh, I can't talk to you, and you're not even my friend, because that takes too long. So
we might have some more about that game a little later, but we'll come back to that.
All right. What else? I know I've been playing something else. Mother hell. Oh, Alien vs. Predator. How can I forget about that? I picked that up. For some reason, I was delayed in Canada by a couple of days. I don't know why, but no one got it until today, actually. I managed to sneak a copy from a place yesterday. The game, this is the thing. I can already tell by playing a little bit of the Marine campaign and the Predator campaign and a ton of the multiplayer that unless you're a big fan of the fiction of any of these, you're likely not going to like this game. Because the design of it is very 1990s in the way that when you play a first-person shooter these days, you expect scripted events. You expect story to be going on as you're playing around. You expect to have some stuff to look at besides just going through corridors and shooting. And this doesn't really do that. Like in the Marine campaign, it opens up with you landing on a planet. And then I'm like, okay, cool. It's going to this big open vista. It's going to be, you're going to open this, like, you go into this, like, little place, and the aliens are slowly going to start creep up on you, and it's going to have some suspense. No, basically, you get knocked out. You come in and out of these guys carrying you. Then all of a sudden, it blacks out. Chaos breaks loose. Then you wake up on a medical bed, and next thing you know, you're basically in the game. Like, oh, quick, grab a gun and meet people here. They're fighting, and kind of, yeah. And there's not really much going on besides that. Like, it looks decent, I guess, some of the lighting, but it just, the whole game just feels dated in a way, but the multiplayer is fun, even though it does feel a little bit janky and clunky, especially the melee combat. I'll admit, if the characters I was playing this game with wasn't aliens, predators, and marines, I probably would not have picked up this game, and I probably wouldn't be playing any more than I am right now.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, I don't know. I know Travis or myself, because Travis, I think, Sega is sending us a review copy, so you can grab that. And I'm not sure one of us is going to write the review, so it's going to be a tough one. it's going to be a tough one to review, because, like, I love the subject matter, but at the same time, too. I can tell the game itself, it's lacking in a lot of ways. But it's fun. I think that's the most important thing, but, I mean, that's not something I'm going to put most important on a review, especially because, you know, fun is subjective, I guess.
That's right.
But, yeah, other than that, that's pretty much it, man. Like, a lot of, yeah, that's it for me, man. What about you?
Cool. Okay. Well, nothing new on this end. I still haven't opened my copy of Dante's Inferno. mainly because I've been playing the same games this week as I did the last 2 weeks. So Mass Effect, beat that. And all I'm going to say is that, Game of the Year. That's what I'm going to say.
You're already saying that, eh?
Yeah. Oh, man, I freaking love this game. I started my second playthrough. I imported my Renegade character from the first one, who was an Adept. I kept her an Adept and started playing it on Insane. And holy crap, is that hard. It's frustratingly hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Because every enemy has some sort of defensive barrier, whether it be a shield, armor, or a biotic barrier.
Kind
of
like women.
So, yeah, it ends up just being extremely frustrating. Guys that, on your regular playthrough, guys that you would just take down in a couple shots are literally giving you trouble. Like the Vorta, the Blood Pack
Vorta. Vorsha? Yeah.
They regen their health. And they regen their health really fast when it's on Insane. And it just seems like they never die. And then, put them up with consider the Blood Pack has the Krogan in there too. And the Krogan are already a pain in the ass to kill. And now you put it on Insane and they take even more damage and regen even quicker. And, it's pretty hard. That's how it's going to end. But the one thing I will say is nobody left behind, bitches. First try.
What?
Yeah, everyone job, survived on my playthrough.
Nice.
So I was pretty happy with that. You know, I didn't. I was worried that one of the things I was going to end up doing is playing it through and having some people die and then being tempted to reload the game and beat it again, everyone survive. Right. And, you know, I would have done that. However, I would have been tempted to use that save game in Mass Effect 3, even though I know I shouldn't have, you know?
It depends what would happen to you, or I think it'd be like, yeah, that's cheating or not cheating. Like, if you lost two people, would you do that?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I would want to, because I would want to see what would be different, and that kind of thing. But you know,
no, but which one would you transfer over though?
I would transfer the one where the people died. Be what I would. That, well, I say that, but it's like I know I would be tempted to transfer the one that where everyone lived. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's actually kind of a relief in that sense that everyone lived anyway, because I don't have to worry about that now. But yeah, with my renegade character, I'm not going to be as careful. So I want to see what happens when I'm not as careful with everything. So
I don't think it's so much careful. I guess when you find the formula, it's difficult by where, as long as you make your teammates loyal and as long as you put them in the right positions at the end, then they pretty much tell you who you should put where.
They kind of do. They hint at it really, really well.
Yeah, because they want these characters. They put a lot of work in these characters. They want them to be in the third game and you to see them. It's not like they want you to fail.
Right. So I definitely agree with you there. And man, front to back, that game is just incredible.
It's
and,
awesome. Tanya just started it. So she's like, nice. On our first recruitment mission.
That's awesome, dude. Sweet is awesome. But, Mass Effect, it's awesome. And next week, we are going to be recording our spoiler episode. I'm so excited.
Spoilers!
I'm really looking forward to hearing, like, all the different, especially with the end. I really want to hear how everyone did the end and compare.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Compare and contrast. Because I think that's going to be, like, at least a half an hour is just us talking about the end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Half hour?
Who's joining us next week anyway? There's going to be five of us, isn't there?
Five of us, yes. It's going to be the four of us and John, who was also on the Fallout 3 episode.
Oh, that's right.
I think he's played it through. I know he's played it through once. I don't know if he's played it through a second time or not. But, yeah, so it's going to be five of us. We're going to have we're all going to be the same room, and we're going to Skype in Jeff. And it should be a great time. It's going to be like the old days, man. It's going to remind me of the first special episode we did.
Like 11 or something.
Yeah, it was like our 11th show ever. And, it turned out pretty well, I think. Let's see what else. White Knight Chronicles, played some more of the story mode, and the story is getting super annoying. That should be a clue, Jeff. It got worse. And yeah, I'm not gonna go into details because spoilers and all that other crap, but let's just say there's one point in about you go to a desert and there's some ruins in a desert, and you go into these ruins and you basically complete your quest and then have to start it over again, and it sucks. Yeah, I'm not going to spoil it, but
White Knight. Please.
Yeah, there's a reason, Chris, the game is averaging 92%, so obviously you don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. You're absolutely right. However,
it's not really.
Okay.
we did have our second White Knight on Tuesday, and that was, again, pretty successful. We had a great time. I got to party up with a few more people this time because there were some more people around my level. I'm really enjoying the online portion of it. And, a lot of the missions are really creative, and it's, getting some more combos unlocked and more moves unlocked and stuff like that. So, that part of the game is really fun. It's just a damn shame that the whole thing is convoluted with the fucking story mode, that you have to go through it all just to unlock all these missions. So yeah, my review should be up, eventually for White Knight. I'm not going to kill it.
Aren't those reviews hard though? Because it's like you can enjoy a game, but like I said, fun is subjective. But it's like you got it.
Well, here's my thing, and this is always one of the ways that I've thought people that like outlets should review games. The single player and the multiplayer are really two separate things,
different things. Yeah.
So you should kind of look at them
objectively in different ways. And then, so probably what I'm going to do is I'm going to end up, you know, scoring both of them separately and then taking the average for the overall score of the game.
Yeah,
and so we'll see how that works out. I talk like it's going to work now, but you know, it's easy
to say in theory, someone's going to be upset.
And then it sucks when you get it out there. But we'll see what happens.
It doesn't. Someone will be upset. Someone will be like, "We're so wrong."
Yeah,
that's what always happens.
The only other thing I played this week is instead of my normal DS time with Zelda, I went back to Phantasy Star Zero.
Ooh.
Oh.
So there you go.
White Knight Chronicles that bad, huh?
Yeah. No. Actually, it's more of a way of showing how frustrated I am with the way Zelda's going because basically my time on my DS is like when I bowl on Wednesday nights, I'll bring my DS along and I'll play my DS in between frames to kind of get my mind off bowling because if I'm bowling really shit, then
you
I don't want to think about
and upset
it.
And yeah. Hulk Riccio comes out.
Yes, pretty much. It's not a pretty sight when I'm frustrated about bowling. So, but yeah, so I'll bring my DS along and I'll be playing something, you know, between frames. And lately it's been Zelda. Well, yeah, this past Wednesday it was Phantasy Star. So going back
I bet your teammates love you on your team.
Hey, as long as I bowl at the right time, it doesn't matter, man. It's not like I hold long conversations with my teammates. Anyway,
I guess that was a jab at someone who has long conversations with their teammates.
No, it wasn't.
Bowling was a social thing for us. Like, we still were serious and we'd get pissed if we lost, but it was still like we just drink our asses off and have a good
time. Yeah, I don't think I ever
Right, that's that. This isn't that type of bowling league, though, unfortunately. It's very, very competitive, and I know, Travis, you'll understand this. I don't know if Jeff will or not, but the amount of competitiveness in this league, the handicap is based off of 220 instead of 200.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean,
Now, I understand that in terms of handicap. That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, yeah, so
I've, like, broken 100 a couple times.
Right, we have several people that average above 200, right. And actually the highest average bowler in our league is on my team. So,
wow.
Well, that's cool.
But... You know, it's
does he walk in like he's hot shit? Like he's from
no, not at all.
That movie?
He's a very down to earth guy and you know.
Kingpin.
Kingpin.
There you go.
He's eating like pizza, Bill Murray. Pizza's plates.
it's not as social as most of the other leagues I've been on. I really haven't decided if I'm going to do it again next season or not because of that.
You will. Your competitive juices will keep you going.
We need a bowl, man.
Yeah, well, whenever. You know.
Yeah. That's how bad White Knight is. It's so bad, we talk about bowling.
That's right.
at least it's not Buffy. Whatever the bowl was.
But that is it for me. So, Jeff, let's do some news.
Yeah, we'll run through some news here. News of the week. We got Street Fighter IV Super Edition. Going to be hitting it up in April?
April or May, something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there.
They'll delay it again somewhere.
Which are pretty much, people saw this coming from a while, that it was going to be three characters from Street Fighter 3, and that's exactly who was announced this week. We have Ibuki, Makoto, and Dudley. So for those who don't know, Dudley is the other boxer other than Balrog.
Oh, okay.
I believe he's French, I think. He's the one who throws the rose.
Oui, oui.
Yeah, and then there's Makoto, who's the judo. I believe her master's judo. She's like a grappler. She's in like a white Ryu-looking gi kind of thing. Doesn't play like Ryu, though. And then Ibuki, who's like a ninja, like a female ninja, pretty much. The only character out of these three I personally care for is Ibuki, personally, but I know a lot of people do like the other two. So, good on dems, and that rounds it out to 9 announced characters, new characters for Super Street Fighter 4.
That's pretty
and
cool.
And there's a 10th coming, so a brand new one. They just haven't officially come out with them yet, so
okay,
we'll see what happens. Assassin's Creed 2,
yep.
Travis, big fan. It's on the PC. It's going to be coming out. It's going to require a constant internet connection to play.
Game of the year.
What? Wait, what?
Constant internet connection.
Why?
Because it's Ubisoft's version of DRM for
DRM?
This game. Where,
aww,
yep, where DRM. What's going to happen is if your internet connection cuts out, it'll ask you two questions. You can start the game from your previous checkpoint, which means if you don't save the game manually, you lose everything up. So if you're playing for like 2 hours, you don't save the game, and something happens and your internet goes out, you got to do all that shit all over again.
Well, no, checkpoints are automatic, aren't they?
Yeah.
They should be, but I'm not sure how often they are in Assassin's Creed 2, though. They're probably every time you enter a town, I'm guessing.
Every time you finish a mission or you buy something.
Or you start a mission or something
like that. It auto saves.
That wouldn't be too bad. So you have to replay something for like a bit. But either way, I think this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because you can either quit to Windows or quit to start your last checkpoint. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? I think this is one of the most harshest forms of DRM I've heard of. Constantly be online.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of like the stink that Microsoft had to go through because of if you had to move to a different system, like if you had to refurb a system, all of your Xbox Live Arcade games had to be played while you were actually connected online to Xbox Live.
That's only if you want to play them on what's it called? Oh yeah, no, that's right. You do have to be online.
Yeah, you don't anymore. You can transfer them over.
Oh yeah, you can do the licensing thing.
But I mean, this really sounds like that, and that was a pain in the ass, man. I mean, this is not cool at all.
Yeah, this is not cool at all because it's not even like even if you're playing from your own PC, like the only PC that you installed the game onto, you have to be connected at all times.
Right.
And I don't know about you guys, but my internet, there's times where it'll just all of a sudden be like, "Whoa, I'm out for a second. Okay, back on again."
And hell, I'm happy when we get through an entire podcast without one of our internets going down.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It happens every once in a while, so. But I think that's kind of ridiculous, and I'm sure there's going to be a huge stink about it.
Yeah, probably.
And like Modern Warfare, maybe a bunch of people will just download the game instead, or pirate it, because.
I would not be surprised.
Activision came out and said, "Hey, you know, people on PC, we're going to charge $60 for it, and we're not going to let you have dedicated servers," and more than 1 million copies were pirated, so. Actually, that's just on 360 alone. Only 1 million copies were pirated on 360.
On 360, really?
On 360 alone. That doesn't include PC.
PC is easier to copy, too.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wow.
Anywho, so yeah, PC owners, I definitely don't envy you at this point in time, anyway. Lost Planet 2, Capcom.
Cool.
Has come out and said that they've had to cut some content for Lost Planet 2 because of the space of the DVD-9.
What?
So... Yeah, so as people know, 360 still runs on last-gen's DVD-9, whereas the PS3 is the Blu-ray, can fit more stuff. And they came out, they're trying to spin it a little bit like it's not that big of an issue, saying it's more or less, it was harder to cut stuff that we didn't want to, we just ended up, we put so much content in the game that we just kind of ran out of space. So they're not really saying it sucks that they had to do it, they're hoping that it comes out on DLC. But I mean, this is probably one of the first times that a developer's kind of come out in the open and said, hey, yeah, if we had a little bit more space, and I mean, the 360 is the lead platform, we're going to have to cut some stuff and put it out as DLC.
What they're doing this because they know whether or not they say this or not, once this DLC's out, once this DLC comes out and they're charging us $5 to $10 for it, we're still going to be like, why wasn't this in the original game? But they're already giving this they're giving the excuse now is what they're doing.
Which they shouldn't have done.
No,
because now we're going to look at it and be like, hey, you originally wanted this in the game, but you had to cut it. Now you're going to charge before that would originally be free. If they didn't say this, it'd be like, oh, cool, DLC for Lost Planet 2.
Now, here's my thing. Is Lost Planet 2 and an open world game or something? I mean, when did Lost Planet become linear?
It's totally linear. That's the thing.
Why can't you put it on multiple discs?
That's another good question, actually.
This actually just sounds like Capcom saying, okay, hey, we're going to give you DLC and you're going to have to buy it. That's just their way of stretching out the money.
You and Travis can be right then there. Because I just think it wasn't smart for them to say it because now I'm going to be thinking, like I said, like you came out openly said you had to cut stuff. Now you might have to release the DLC. So now in my back of my head, I'm thinking, well, if this was on the disc, I would have got it for free.
Right.
And now it's not. But yeah, it makes sense, Chris, because I mean, it's linear and it's like...
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, there's no reason that they couldn't make that multiple discs.
And that version wouldn't hurt the PS3 version because they could just fit everything on one disc on PS3 and have it on PS3 for 360. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. Capcom, I don't know. That is pretty lame. Anywho, Bobby Kotick held a keynote today. He's the president of...
Who gives a shit? Sorry, Jeff. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I don't even care what it was about. We don't need to talk about him.
That was your news. That's it.
Really depressing news. Like, I mean,
there wasn't really much this week, man. It was pretty. Yeah. Besides Street Fighter, yeah. Kind of.
News of the week.
News of the world. All right. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about series and franchises that we want to be killed, basically. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. And we'll be back right after this message.
Message. I was going to say, what are you going to say? Right after this message. Bye. It's time to wake up.
All right, mic check. Check. 1, 2. All right, sweet. Yeah, we're set. Got my beer. Got my Doritos. Check my perks here. Yeah, sweet. I'm going to kill me some terrorists. They ain't never going to know what hit him. That's right, bitches. I'm coming for you. Get ready to reap the whirlwind. Game, set, match, motherfucker. Get ready. There's no stopping.
Hey, hon, can you help me carry in the groceries?
Son of a bitch. Every damn time.
GamersOnlyOlder.com. Because carrying the groceries is not an achievement.
Release the inner child. Welcome to the Goo is a VG Evo Network podcast affiliate.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey.
Nice. Sorry. Oh, man. All right. Today we are talking about franchises that we think should be shot, killed, and dropped, and all that other good stuff. So we got some pretty good response for this, so I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Travis and let him read a couple emails.
All right, let's go ahead into it. We got Death Row saying, sup, Indus. Death Row here again. Sorry. What game franchises would I like to see die?
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, thanks, buddy. First of all, Final Fantasy. The continued success of this franchise annoys me. I personally don't think it deserves it, and it just takes Western attention away from better JRPGs that deserve it more. Secondly, Call of Duty. Yeah, 4 was decent, but Modern Warfare 2 was, for me, a complete insult, poor multiplayer, average single player, and frustrating success. Third, Mario. And it really pains me to say it, because this franchise is one of the foundations of the industry, but seeing what that old Nintendo talent could do in a new franchise would be great. Maybe die is a bit strong for Mario, but force him into a coma for a decade or so. And finally, Mass Effect.
What?
Kidding! Game of the year!
They're about to do some words!
Death Row? Oops.
Them words?
All right, Final Fantasy is one of mine too, guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's not that I don't like the games. It's just like I think they're running out of ideas and just, you know, they're just making things more tedious than they need to be a lot of times. It's like I would actually prefer them to go back to like what they did with Final Fantasy VI,
right?
And stuff like that, you know, right. And I don't agree with him saying that it takes attention off of other JRPGs. Where it does, I think it's actually taking away a lot from a lot of the really good Western RPGs that are coming out, even more so.
Right.
So it's, and I don't necessarily know if it should die, but they at least need a huge change of direction, because 13 finals, that's a lot of finals. You know, you think final is an absolute, yeah. It's not. And
yeah.
I know,
yeah,
it's just,
like
I know it's just a name,
though.
But
I see, yeah. for the next proper Final Fantasy, you know, standalone single player.
Final Fantasy 15?
When 9 came out, they had their big thing, because they had the guy who did the original art for like the old SNES games and everything.
Right. It was very much a throwback game.
Yeah, and even on the back it says the crystal comes back, meaning like the guy who was like, you know, was there for the creation of Final Fantasy. He's coming back to do the characters, and it was like kind of like they're just going old school. And I think especially with you know, the next game when it comes out in 12 years, we might see that
on the
PS4. Because I kind of
I'd probably go back and go into the Nintendo, whatever the fuck it is.
I think that they put way too many resources into Final Fantasy and not enough into anything else.
Okay. Well,
and that's, yes, that's really agreed. A huge problem. I mean, I would rather see them do something original that, you know, that they actually put a lot of effort into and it turns out good, because, you know, they just really haven't done anything that's amazing in a while.
Okay, yeah, I can see that to an extent, but I mean, you can't lose the Final Fantasy name, because if the second Square loses Final Fantasy, they lose pretty much everything. Besides Dragon Quest, which is now just basically DS.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Final Fantasy VI was awesome. Anything after that, well, everything's subjective, but I mean, everything after that, you have different people. VII was the best RPG ever made, VII sucked, that's when Square sold out, so to speak, and whatnot, yeah. Left Nintendo.
You get different opinions wherever you go.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, exactly. But I don't think, did Square do anything really good besides Final Fantasy before they teamed up with Enix? Like, before they branched off?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Chrono Trigger
was awesome, and then...
Well, wasn't Chrono Trigger...
Secret of Mana?
Front Mission was really good.
Oh, Mission, yeah. That's
but
a really
wasn't
good
I thought wasn't Chrono Trigger the first collaboration with Enix and Square?
No.
No, that was Squaresoft. No.
So what did Enix do then?
I thought Enix did. Did Enix do Secret of Mana then?
No, Enix does Dragon Quest.
Dragon Quest, yeah.
Yeah, I know they didn't do any of the Secret of Manas or Chrono Triggers.
No, but I can see where you would say Chrono Trigger because it's the same artist.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's probably why I draw the similarities there.
That's the Dragon Ball guy, right?
Did you guys ever play Vagrant Story? Because that was awesome.
That was
Vagrant
awesome.
Story was great.
It was an awesome game. And it's like, you know, you're making all these sequels to games, and you know, Vagrant Story was very unique, and it was, had its issues, but it was a lot of fun, and you know, they just didn't do anything with it.
Well,
it,
they kept the world of Ivalice and used it in Final Fantasy.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. In 12 and 11, right?
Yeah, and Tactics.
And Tactics.
All the Tactics games.
Yeah, Tactics.
Yeah. I don't know, like, I don't, Square's tough for me because I'm not gonna lie and say, like, I play all the Square games because I really don't, and I am the guy who plays the big ones, like, I'm the one who plays the Final Fantasies, never really beaten one, and I think a lot of it is because I automatically expect the Final Fantasy propers to be really, really good, and I don't know, I could see why people would want them to just go away and just stop it, just get on with something new, something different. But when you look at it, the only thing new and different will be the name. Because every game is new and different. Well, then again, apparently 13 is 10 all over again with new characters.
Well, that's cool with me.
That's what I'm thinking. I like 10 is because it was linear. And the only reason I didn't beat it is because I had to give it back to my buddy who I borrowed it from. And I was like, oh.
As long as they fix the... See, I didn't mind 10 except for the having to manage... Like the level of all my characters in the whole thing. If they actually give experience to everyone after a battle, I would probably like it.
Well, is it true that you don't even control your other teammates? Because that's
no, you control every. Oh, in the new one.
Yeah, in 13.
I'm not really sure how.
Because I've heard that you only have direct control over the main character.
I keep on reading different things about it, and it's like, man, how does this work? And everybody says, everybody who's previewed
it's conflicting stuff.
Have said that you have to play it. You have to play it to find out. Yeah. Even
but if that's
guys,
true, then...
A couple of guys on VG Evo have the Japanese import, and they said, you just got to play it.
Well, Bleak Harvest, he's like one of the biggest RPG fans on VG Evo. Like, he plays pretty much everything. And he imported the Japanese version. He said it's worth buying. It is a good game. So, but I don't know. This is right after he beat it, so it might have been the whole... the whole, like, new fresh car smell of the game is still on him. Like, he might have, like, the same thing I do, where it's like, I have to give at least 2 weeks before after I'm done playing a game I do any kind of review or state an actual opinion on it, because I like everything in the first hour. But, I mean, that's a pretty big thing to dive into, and to say you liked it, and after coming from someone like that, that means something. Like, if I came out and said, Final Fantasy 13 is freaking awesome, everyone's going to get it, I'd expect any RPG fan to be like, dude doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. But coming from him, that's what I'm like, you know what, it probably isn't hopes for this. Same with Scott. Like, Scott Sauer, like, if he came out and said, Final Fantasy 13 is garbage, it's not really that good, then I'd be like, okay, I'll start to listen, maybe. But all the people that are saying, automatically writing it off, that have never even touched the game, I'm going to wait.
Yeah, I'm definitely not writing it off, because I still do really want it to be good. You know, I want them to win me back. I really do. And they, you know, Final Fantasy has to do something special to win me back. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Bring back Sabin and Street Fighter like inputs for attacks, and there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What else did he mention, Travis?
Call of Duty.
All right. Call of Duty is kind of one of mine and kind of not.
I think we're on the same page here.
I want all of the non-Infinity Ward Call of Duties to go away.
You want what?
I agree.
Oh, you want them to work on something new, basically?
No. I don't think the Treyarch ones should... I mean, just let Treyarch work on something different.
Agree.
Let Infinity Ward do Call of Duty. And let Treyarch do something else.
I thought you said it the opposite. I thought you said that you wanted the Infinity Ward ones to go away.
No. The Infinity Wards are the ones that are good. You know, keep them around.
I was like, that's telling Obsidian to make original games. Like, Obsidian makes ports and sequels to RPGs that no one else wants to make. They do a good job. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, okay. That was kind of one of mine too. So
I want Infinity Ward to break the fuck off from Activision and get picked up by another publisher.
Me too.
And then they can go ahead and keep making games every 2 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they've shown that they can really shine. I just don't like that they're being forced to do Call of Duty the entire time. I'm sure that some of the guys on there want to do something else.
Right. Well, I like my Modern Warfare, so.
I know you do.
Yeah. And then Mario, I don't
agree with Mario.
I don't agree. I mean, as bad as I want Galaxy 2 right now, I do not.
I know, yeah. Galaxy was probably one of my favorite games on the Wii, and probably one of my favorite Mario games ever.
Ever, yeah.
So,
I'm
really looking forward to part 2.
Oh, I can agree with some of what he's saying, though, because, I mean, I'm up for the Mario propers, that's fine, but get rid of the Mario shit that they put Mario on the cover of the box and the title.
I agree with that. I don't give a shit about Mario Tennis. I don't give a shit about... honestly, I don't even give a shit about Super Paper Mario, you know, because, you know, we talked about that game back when it first came out, and I actually went through the entire game and beat it, and it really seemed like about halfway through the game, they just ran out of ideas, mm-hmm. you know, so, you know, I don't mind, like, Mario being used in some things, like, from what I understand, like, Bowser's Inside Story for DS is supposed to be really, really good.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't mind that so much, but we don't need, like, sports spinoffs and shit like that. We don't need that.
The sports ones are good, though. That's one I can see going. They haven't done those in a while.
Yeah,
I'm talking Mario Party.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah, Mario Party doesn't need to be Mario Party. They should make Nintendo Party or something like that and just put all of the characters in there if they want to do that.
Or they should just kill off the Party series.
There are like 9 of them or something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I don't even think the first one was even 9 years ago. It was 64. And when was it 64 released?
2001?
Anyway, not important. 2001. So it's basically been at least 1 year since then, I think.
Mm-hmm. Wait, wow. No, it was before that.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
Is there one on DS?
No. 64 was in the late 90s.
But I'm trying to think when Party came out. Because then there was a Mario Party for DS as well, right?
Yeah, Mario Party DS, yeah.
Was there one for Game Boy Advance?
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay. Either way, kill that shit. Sit on its face.
But give us Mario Football.
Yes. Made by Retro.
Get on it.
All right. Continue, so Mr. Travis.
All right.
Oh, shit. That was only one email. Damn.
So this next email from Joshua Major, he says, "So I'm glad this subject came up. What franchise would I want to kill? God of War. Seriously,
Psycho.
I don't understand everyone's fascination with the damn game. Kratos sucks. The story is boring. The combat puts me to sleep, and the puzzles are busy work and tedious as hell. Commas help. Moving on. And before Mr. Canada even pipes up and says, well, Necro played Dante's Inferno, lol. You know what, I still thought the controls were still ass in Dante's, but hey, at least the combat wasn't as completely boring as God of War.
It's the same shit on a lower level.
As they had an awesome skill upgrade tree, and the story was better.
Oh my god.
In general, in my opinion.
Okay, sorry, stop right there. No, seriously, stop right there. The skill tree, dude, that skill tree where you get to pick, like, evil or good and souls put into, works the exact same way as the skills do in God of War. It's just a different template that's put on the screen for you. Just saying. You're freaking ridiculous. Anyway, go ahead, Travis.
And then all that's left is also God of War doesn't have a naked CGI man complete with floppy man parts rendered in high def. Well, that's a good thing God of War doesn't have.
I agree. Right? All right, 1 point for God of War.
Yeah. I'm just going to go ahead and say, sorry, is that it?
That's it.
Necro, dude, you're wrong. You can like Dante's Inferno for the story and subject matter, but in terms of puzzles and especially gameplay, it pales in comparison to God of War. Dante's Inferno is decent, but compared to God of War, dude, doesn't hold a candle. You're just wrong. I'm sorry, you're wrong.
I agree. God of War is great. I mean,
I agree too. Especially when one of your favorite games of all time is Ninja Gaiden, and you're bitching about the story in God of War. Yeah,
you're just wrong, dude.
You're just wrong. Sorry.
Move on, yeah. Travis. It's not even worth talking about.
All right. One of our homie dogs, Lee Kelly. What up, Endis crew? Liam Kelly, a.k.a. Lee Kelly, here to answer another question of the week. So the game franchises I just want to die include Sonic, purely because of the disappointment the last few titles in the series brought, but with the unveiling of Sonic 4, I am willing to give it one very last chance, for real this time.
Sheep!
And that's my line.
And God of War. Guitar Hero and Rock Band because they are getting plain stale. They don't need to keep releasing crap like Guitar Hero, Van Halen, and Beatles Rock Band. It should just have been downloadable content. Have a great show, guys. Keep up the fantastic job. Lee Kelly. P.S. Chris, I love your kid's name.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if you guys have ever caught it, but like whenever I would read an email from him, I actually would slip up and say Liam a couple times because in his author box next to his name, when it comes into the inbox,
yeah,
it actually says Liam Kelly. Yeah. So, you know, I slip up and say that.
Yeah.
Did he pick two of mine? Right from
go ahead. Go ahead.
Sonic, K4, I have hopes for, but, at the same time, I'm like, they have sucked so much since Adventure that...
Can I put an amendment on this?
You can put an amendment. I will give it a chance because it is 2D and apparently going back to the roots, even though it has nothing to do with the original Sonic creators at all.
Right.
But I also... I don't know if you listen to the Bombcast at all, Chris, but...
I do.
The way that Ryan Davis went off...
Yeah, Ryan Davis went off, dude.
You guys are the problem! Yeah, exactly. You guys, that's the same way I'm going to look... When Lee Kelly said, I'm going to look... This is going to be, like, their last chance for real. I'm like, he was dead on the money. Like, that's...
This is one of mine, too, Jeff, believe it or not.
Okay.
And here's my reasoning behind it. I say kill off... all Sonics except proper 2D Sonics. So all the 3D bullshit that they've been releasing since the Dreamcast, Sonic Adventure was good. Everything past that was crap. No? Just stick to the good 2D
stuff.
If you
get Yuji Naka to make it again or something like that, then there's no way.
What's that?
Yuji Naka or whatever.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, even the Sonic Rush games for DS are pretty good. You know, they're good.
I didn't like them only because I didn't like the dual screen thing. That's the only reason why.
Well,
nothing
okay,
to do with the game
but,
itself.
You know,
they were the best ones in years.
Right, right. The structure of the game is there, you know?
No, for sure. I agree. Like, I will give 4 a chance, and I will probably download it and see what it's about. But,
I won't.
You've given up hope?
I don't know. It's just everybody, okay, this is it. It's going back to its roots. This is the only chance it has to be in good. They have, these people creating these Sonic games have fucked fans of Sonic.
Yeah. Absolutely right, but that's the thing. The reason I have hope about this is because it is a 2D Sonic. And, you know, all the 2D Sonics have been at least decent.
Yeah. And this one does look decent. For what they've shown in the leak footage, it looks decent. I think a lot of people kind of hold Sonic on a pedestal of nostalgia.
Because 1 and 2 were awesome, and then after that, it kind of starts to...
Yeah,
like,
I agree.
They're a little less than awesome. I mean, the 2D ones are all still pretty good, but 1 and 2 are still the epitome of where Sonic should be, you know? That's where Sonic was Sega's Mario. That's where it was. Now, Sonic is nothing but a joke to Sega, and they really need to get that back. And that's kind of... I mean, that's what they need to do with 4. Whether or not they do it, we'll see what happens.
I don't know. Even as a kid, I never really... I mean, I liked the Sonic games, but I never... I still, to this day, do not think it's a great game. Like,
what did you own when you were younger? Super Nintendo or Sega Genesis?
Both. I had both consoles.
Oh, shit.
And I had
I was
a big
Sega fanboy. So.
Sonic 1, Sonic 2,
yeah, me too.
And Sonic and Knuckles. And I had those. And I just got to the point where I'd get past, you know, the Green Hill Zone, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Or, heaven forbid, you get to the water levels, and you're like, okay, Sonic does not belong underwater. This is ridiculous.
No, dude,
this
he does not.
Stupid.
I hated those fucking
levels. I have to agree.
You had
water
to breathe,
levels.
You had like,
yeah.
Oh, that
the
was
water
ridiculous.
Levels suck. I'll agree with that.
And I never thought, I thought like the first stage, which is usually just the Green Hill Zone, where it's mainly the green outdoor areas, after that level, I would just get sick of it. It's like, I would just get Sonic saturation. And
That's one thing that's mostly nostalgia.
I never thought it was great.
I think a lot of people who think Sonic was awesome were people like me who were pretty much Sega fanboys and had a Sega Genesis, not a Super Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the Mario games, you can do a lot more in any Mario game than you could in a Sonic the Hedgehog game. Like you said, like after you, Sonic the Hedgehog is, by the first level, you're pretty much doing the same thing you're doing for the entire game, just different backgrounds. Whereas Mario... You have different things like the different suits. You have Yoshi. You have two players. And not two players where it's all squishy and weird looking, where one guy's tail and the other guy's Sonic and you're rushing through the level or whatever and it just looks really awkward. And I think people just attach their memory. This is like the perfect example of nostalgia, people not being able to let go of that and thinking the game is that much better than it actually was. And don't get me wrong, I was that guy. I loved Sonic the Hedgehog. 1 and 2... played it every single day I had those games. But now, even going back to them, when I go back to the Sonic the Hedgehog collection that's on the Genesis collection, play a couple levels or a couple rounds, I'm like, okay, cool. When I start playing Mario 3 or like Mario World, I want to keep playing. So I don't think it's all that Sega shat the bed and that they aren't making good Sonic games. I think people are just kind of realizing that Sonic wasn't that good to begin with, really. Well, not as good as we thought it was.
Yeah, not
it
as good. I don't think it's bad. I just don't think
it's... No, exactly.
It never was a great game. Or ever was a great game.
I think Sonic Adventure was a great game.
Sonic Adventure was good. For the Dreamcast, that was really good.
Sonic Adventure was a great game.
And there you go. I never had a Dreamcast, so...
Yeah, good point. And cool the other deal. Thing I wanted to make... Go ahead, Travis.
No, please, by all means.
I was going to say, another one, I was going to say the whole Rock Band Guitar Hero thing. I want the games to die, but I want the platforms to live on. So I basically want them to be like, fuck the re-releases of everything, just put everything on DLC. Just keep the support going, but kill off the games and the retail versions.
The only disagreement I would have is that he kind of put out Beatles Rock Band on that, and... Now, I don't have Beatles Rock Band, and I'm not going to buy it because I'm not a huge Beatles fan or anything like that, but from what I understand from people is that Beatles Rock Band is a completely different experience.
It is.
Because of the way the game works. So you can't lump it in the same category as something like Guitar Hero Metallica or other shit that they've put out like that.
Well, no, you can. It's just the quality you can.
No, because Guitar Hero Metallica is not only Metallica. It is not the entire game is not about Metallica.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Beatles Rock Band is a Beatles game. Mm-hmm. It just happens to also be a Rock Band.
And it also happened to come out a year after they released Rock Band 2, and that's my problem is,
yeah,
if you're not going to release it on DLC, because it could have been a DLC thing, like, easily.
Not with the music videos that they had and everything for every single
all
song.
All that stuff.
All that, dude, that was a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it still could have been downloaded, though. You can download, like, anything these days. You can download games that are, like, 6 gig.
And you would have been downloading a game.
Well, yeah, exactly.
You
would have been, yeah. But that's my thing is, like, if they're going to still make up excuses to release things yearly, I don't want to see that anymore. Cause
I agree with you on that.
I'm like, I don't care. Like, I didn't buy... Did any one of us buy Beatles Rock Band?
I rented it. It was the Beatles.
I just don't like the Beatles. So
I'm not a big fan either.
The Beatles. I just don't like them enough to buy a Rock Band game.
I would have had more inclination to buy that Beatles Rock Band if it was DLC. Because you know what's going to happen? People are going to come over, we're going to be playing Rock Band, and be like, oh my god, they have Beatles songs? And then I'm going to be like, oh yeah, cool, I can just download it. Hold on, just download that shit. Alright, cool, download. There you go, purchase, boom. But I see in the store, a year after another version was released, I'm thinking, you money-grubbing assholes. And I don't want to think that about, because, I mean, Rock Band with EA and everything, EA, they've done a really good job with it so far. And I'm just hoping this year, there's already rumors of a Jimi Hendrix thing going on, but...
Well, the Jimi Hendrix is supposed to be DLC from what I understood.
That would be awesome.
The thing that I'm annoyed with is that they're doing like they're doing the same, apparently a similar treatment. Oh, wait. Well, I guess it's not similar treatment, but they're doing a Green Day Rock Band. It's like, first of all, Green Day fucking sucks. Second of all, they're not even near the stature of the Beatles or even AC/DC because
or
they
Led
had that.
Zeppelin.
For
oh.
us. For us, they're not.
Oh, God.
Green Day for the MTV generation and stuff like that is huge. Mm-hmm. So, I don't mind that. If they're going to go Beatles, like, going Beatles to Green Day is going from one spectrum to the other in terms of, like, who's the respect for each band and the age groups.
So.
That's fine. As long as they give us something cool, DLC or whatever, that we can more relate to. But you talk to any, like, 19-year-old or, like, 20-year-old or, like, an under, Green Day's probably looked at like, oh, it's one of the best bands. Yeah. But we're that old type being like, no, it's crap. Music has gone downhill and... I'm not going to get green.
Anyway.
Don't get me wrong.
What Rock Band is doing that I think this year is going to really, really push them ahead, because not on top, okay, yeah, they're going to have their Green Day Rock Bands. They're also going to have their DLC packs, and they're going to have their songs they're going to release every week like they still do. They're still going to hold true to that. But we have the Rock Band Network that is going to be kick-ass.
Yeah, that is going to be pretty
That is going to be rocking, dude. Like, what they can do. Like, because they actually have companies now that are you know, saying, do you have a band? Do you have songs you want to put on Rock Band? You pay us X amount of money per song, and it's expensive, but you pay us X amount per song, and we're going to program your band, your song, the notes and everything, all the difficulty levels in the game, and all these bands have to do is just fork over the cash, give them the master tracks, and there you go. And there's going to be so many... there's going to be bands that, you know, we've never even heard of that might actually put out good music that we get to hear. I mean, you remember Guitar Hero 1? How many bands, The Slip song, Even Rats, Rock Band 2, you had Freeze Pop, bands we never heard of. And then, you know, these songs, you know, we get more of a chance for this to happen, you know, now that these games are coming out. And, you know, and the network's going to be able to, I guess, you know, give them more of a face online. Whereas EA or whoever, or Harmonix, whoever picks these songs, may or may not have picked them before. But now people have the choice to get in this game via the network. And I think that's going to have a really, really nice place in Rock Band. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to that for a while. So hopefully, you know, I hope you're right.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to move on to a quick voicemail before we finish off with the questions?
Sure, we could do that.
Why not?
Hey, Indus, this is GOG92 here to answer your question of the week.
Hello?
The video game series that I would like to see die would be the Pokemon series. mainly nice. Because it's just gotten too far out of hand. Like, when the series first started, people were like, wow, this is new. And if you ask people, like, if they knew what a Pikachu was, they knew what it was. But I think it's just got getting, like, too far out of hand now. Because, like, now if you ask someone what, like, a Chikorita or whatever the hell it's called. That's what one of them is. They won't know what it is because it's different now. It's just, I just don't see why people still buy them. Like, they're aimed at children, and that's what they're for. They're aimed at children. Children play them. I think it's sad when you get, like, 17-year-olds playing them. Like, my cousin gets really excited. She's 17, and she gets really excited when the latest Pokemon's being shipped from Amazon. She's got much better games to be playing. She's got Uncharted and Quantum of Solace. That's not a good game. Like, Uncharted is a good game. Got halfway through it. I was collecting dust. I don't know how many more characters they can come up with for the game. Like, I can just imagine them making up loads of innuendo and putting some, like, Titingo or Shitaro or something.
Like,
the red version was good, but they just managed to get so much money from the series now that they can just keep releasing and keep making money. They're almost like Activision. They're just of crappy RPGs. And the music's just enough to make you get insane. Well, that's it from me. Like, rant over. Keep up the good work. This is from JG92.
Nice.
Thanks, JG.
I gotta say, I don't think his wish is gonna come true, because Pokemon's one of those things. It carries so much.
It's a money maker.
It carries so much clout.
But it's not about what we think
it carries so much clout that it recycles generation to generation of the same age group.
It's Nintendo.
It's nuts.
They recycle everything.
And those games are exactly the same. I remember, like, one year a guy saying, hey, what are you playing? Oh, Pokemon. And I'm not lying. 5 years later, what are you playing? Oh, Pokemon. And I looked, and it was the same game. Same graphics. Same. I mean, it was the same thing.
Yeah, I don't. I can't really comment.
This is Pearl. I was playing Bronze 5 years ago. I don't care. It's the same game.
You're catching stupid monsters and changing them into other stupid monsters. Yeah, I'm with you. I think I actually, I fell into the hype when it first came out, like Pokemon, like when it did like Red and Blue and all that crap.
Dude,
for the original Game Boy, I bought that one and I played it for like maybe 5-10 hours, and that was it. I was done.
Pokemon took me by surprise. I didn't know what the hell it was, and all of a sudden there were games everywhere. I didn't know what was happening, why it was popular. I worked at EB.
I'm being taken over.
Yeah, I was working at EB, and all of a sudden, like, we got a shipment in of Pokemon. I'm just kind of like, oh, what's this? We got a lot of these. And all day long, do you have the new Pokemon? I'm like, sure, here. You have the new Pokemon? Yeah, here it is. Like, what the fuck's up with this game? Where did this come from? I had no idea. Yeah. I was so oblivious to it.
I enjoyed one thing Pokemon, and that was Pokemon Snap on the N64. That was
Africa.
It was actually interesting.
Hmm.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
All right, cool. Let's move on.
Let's do it.
Kung Fu Gold Chain here.
Nice.
I want to say how impressed I was with Darksiders.
Yeah.
I had just the right buzz going when I finished it, and the ending gave me goosebumps for what was coming next. I can't say enough about this game, and it has inspired me to start Twilight Princess over again, because I had never finished it on my first playthrough. To answer your question of the week, for me at least, has got to be the Mortal Kombat Versus series. I know there has only been one Mortal Kombat Versus DC, but I wanted to stop there. I would rather see Ed Boon and the others keep to the Mortal Kombat world and character backgrounds. I mean, come on, Superman getting defeated by these guys? Really? Limiting fatalities? They didn't limit the Mortal Kombat heroes' fatalities. Liu Kang turned into a dragon, for crying out loud, and ate a dude's face off. Anyway, he says, keep it real, Boone. Peace out.
Nice.
I can agree with that for sure.
Yeah, I have no objections to that.
Kill off Mortal Kombat till they're going to come back and actually do it right. And Ed Boon, again, this might be the whole Sonic thing we talked about. He said there's another one in the works, and that they're going to go back to their Mortal Kombat roots. I don't know what the hell that means at this point.
Mortal Kombat has not been the same since Part 2.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because free you know
was
what decent. Happened?
No, just, they
no.
Put that
you
run
know what
button.
Happened?
They put that run button in there, and it went to shit.
Yeah, and then they put like the dial-a-combo bullshit in there. Like,
yeah, the dial-a-combo is crap.
They saw Killer Instinct, and they said, "Oh, we've got to add dial-a-combo to our game."
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. I like the combos in Mortal Kombat 3 a lot better than I did in Killer Instinct.
Well, yeah, that's not true. Hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Killer Instinct. I mean, at least in Mortal Kombat, it was like you hit one button, you'd make
you
one
did
punch.
One hit. Yeah.
In Killer Instinct, you hit one button, he hits him like 18 times.
Yeah.
So you know.
No, they totally caught there. But, I mean, at least that game was still enjoyable, and that was the last Mortal Kombat game I can remember being excited for to come to consoles, where I was, like, running home from school when the game came out and, like, couldn't wait to jump in the car and go and pick it up. And then ever since then, meh. And that was, like, what, 12 years ago? 11 years ago? And they've come out with a game every, what, 2 years since then, maybe?
Something like that.
Maybe even every year. I don't even know. Every year, 2 years. Did any of you guys play DC?
No. I didn't play. I had no interest.
Didn't Jason play it, though?
I think he did play it for a little bit. I actually want to get it. Like, it's dropping down in price, and I'm pretty sure I will get it eventually, because I just want to try it, because people who like Mortal Kombat say it actually plays pretty decently and it's okay, but I don't know.
Hey, Genesis guy. Yep. Can you remember the Mortal Kombat blood code? Don't look on the internet. Can you remember?
ABACABB.
Yeah, my boy. Good nice. Man. I have never
I didn't remember that. That's
that.
Pretty good.
I had never.
That's it. That's engraved
that
in my
ever.
Brain, just like the Contra right. code, dude.
Right. Good shit.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I can agree with that. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Mortal Kombat effing off for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree
Which
too.
Which it kind of did for a little while, didn't it? Like a few years?
Yeah, I think from. Because, well. I'm trying to think. They did release one on 360 and PS3 before the DC one. I can't remember what it, Annihilation was it, or Deception. I don't know. There's so many different ones that are like look the same to me.
Did you play the action adventure
yes,
one?
Yes, the Shaolin monks.
That wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't
yeah,
terrible.
It wasn't that bad. Yeah.
It was not terrible. That's for sure. I played worse games.
Like how we're doing, was, I like how you're doing this now. It wasn't terrible.
You know? No, it was actually decent couch co-op.
Yeah, exactly. Like when you had two people there, it was actually
yeah.
pretty fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Because half of the time you're making fun of the game, but that makes it fun.
Yeah.
That's like, this is so ridiculous and retarded, and I can't believe they actually made this game, but high five. That's my beer.
Well, shall we move on, gentlemen?
We shall.
Yeah, let's
go.
All right. This is from Sean Recupido. There are no game series I would like to see die. Even if I may not enjoy a game, who am I to say it shouldn't be made for someone else to enjoy it? But if I were to choose one game series that should die, it's the Imagine series by Ubisoft.
That yeah. is
well,
fair.
I like his point, though. Like, you can't really choose a game to die because there's always a market for something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Ubisoft series, as much as the Imagine series, as much as I hate it and as much as I wish it would go away, and as much as I hate actually saying them when we do new releases, we talked about it before. I mean, if these games are selling and they have such a high profit margin that mm-hmm. they're making it so that they can make games like Assassin's Creed, mm-hmm. then I really can't argue too much with it.
Yeah, it's a necessary evil.
It is, and, yeah. Yeah. And like, I don't have to buy them, so...
If I wanted my way, I'd say I want all motion control games to die.
Yeah.
Because I think it's doing bad for the industry, and I don't like the way it's going, but people enjoy them, so I'm not going to be like they should die, even though I want them to.
Yeah.
Especially for the third-party companies for the Wii itself, because they're backing away now. Like, they're all...
No,
I mean,
dude,
they're scared to do it.
Out, yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're getting lost in the shuffle, man. All these games mm-hmm. that used to sell good at the beginning, the Twilight years of the... I know, Twilight's the later end, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho. Yeah, they're not doing too well anymore.
I can't wait to see the NPDs on Tatsunoku versus Capcom, because
oh,
you
I'm afraid,
know it's going to be trash.
Such a good game.
It's going to be trash.
Such a good game. That is probably my... I think, me personally, and yes, I have a fighting game bias, but I think that's the best Wii game ever released.
Really?
Yeah, I honestly think it... Well, maybe. I'd have to think about this. I'm right on the spot right now, and I'm kind of speaking...
I was going
to
say, you think it's better than Muramasa? And...
I can't really compare the two. But okay. You know what? Because I'm a fighting game fan, I definitely could... I'd put more hours into TBC than I would Muramasa.
No, fair enough.
I'm not saying one of them's better than the other one, but... in terms of what it is and what you're getting for what you're paying and everything, I think it's a great, great title.
Okay.
And... I don't know. Dude, I'm afraid to see it. Let's just hope
it's
the Wii dies. How about that? Can we just say that?
The Wii should die.
Let's wait
so
till after Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
We can
I'm just happy
first.
We don't have any crazy rabid Nintendo fanboys listening that
right
in. Because, yeah, we'd be in trouble.
Continue, Trav.
Yeah, all right, our last email. Hey, Indus. Plank fan here, responding to your question of the week. The franchise I would most love to see die may be a bit obvious, but it's Guitar Hero. When you can count the number of games a series released in less than a year and more than on one hand, that's a bad thing. There have been 12 games released under the Hero brand in total. 7 of those games were released in 2009 alone.
Wow.
In my opinion, that's just Activision screaming, "We want more money!" I think the single artist games such as Van Halen and Metallica could have been released as DLC. Because they really didn't need their own full-price game. Guitar Hero just needs to bend over and suck on the balls of Rock Band. Keep up the great work, Plank fan.
Okay. We kind of talked about Guitar Hero a little bit, but I'll say this. If I wanted... everyone should know this, but if one of them had to stick around, I'd want it to be Rock Band and not Guitar Hero.
Right.
Yeah, I'd much rather see that one survive just because of the way they support it as a platform and how they allow you to export all the songs and stuff like that. And I think they do a lot more for the customer when it comes to stuff like that. So yeah, that's my personal opinion. I think Guitar Hero is it's run its course. And, you know, I'm afraid that I kind of see Activision as getting what they need and just moving on because, didn't they just lay off a bunch of people from, Red Octane? Didn't they shut Red Octane down?
That still hasn't been like official, but that's like a huge, it's pretty much just hasn't been announced yet. But yeah, Red Octane is basically gone.
That and the, I can't remember the other company. I want to say NCSoft, but I know that's
It's the guys who made, Vigilante 8 and, I can't remember what the hell they're called.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know where you're going.
Yeah, I mean, they got what they wanted, they needed from them, and then they're just letting them go. It's like Activision has money to pay these people, but they're laying them off anyway.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah. Or they put in way too much money than they expected to get, or that they thought they were going to get back and didn't, and they're like, oh shit. We're actually losing money for what we paid for these games.
Yeah, they actually came out with one of their quarterly reports, and they had said they ended up losing money compared to, like, the last quarter, I think it was.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So that, I guess they're just trying to soften the blow of the fact that they did do some layoffs. That's all it was, pretty much. All
right.
So, but that's it for emails, man.
All right. Well, do we have any others that we want to throw out there?
No, not really. Nothing that's really been covered. Was a Plank fan, I can't think of anything. Like, there's a lot of games I don't like that I don't care for, but I'm not going to say I want them to die, because, I don't know. For a series for me to just want it to die would be something I'm kind of interested into that's not doing anything new or advancing anything at all. And I mean, the close thing to that is the Call of Duty series, I guess. And we already covered that. So I can't really think of anything really right now.
Tony Hawk Ride should die.
Tony Hawk should.
That's good.
Tony Hawk should die. I don't think anyone really cares about Tony Hawk at all.
See, part of me, there's some games out there that I want to mention, but it's not because I want them to die. It's because I want them to go out on a high note. You know, it's like, I'm wondering if, you know, if I want to have Mass Effect 3 and then that's it after that. I want it to like end on that high note. You know, Mass Effect was supposed to be a trilogy. Leave it a trilogy and and then move on to something new and use what you learned in Mass Effect to make something new. Don't necessarily kill it.
Dude,
just end it gracefully.
Dude, I'm thinking the same way with God of War.
That was the other one I was going to mention. God of War.
Like, God of War 3. I want God of War 3 to be the last God of War in the trilogy, and that's it. Just cut it off, end it on a high note, hopefully.
And then let them move on to something else.
Halo Reach, after that, if it's what I think it is, boom, done. But it's... neither of those are going to happen.
Yeah, I know. None of them are.
No.
Well, Mass Effect might. I could see Mass Effect ending after 3.
Oh, yeah. Unless they pass it off to Obsidian and they start doing the same.
I don't. I see Mass Effect continuing on, whether you're Shepard or not. It's
and
official.
They are owned by EA now.
It's official. It is a cash cow. It is a cash cow, and they're gonna milk this bitch. but the same goes for Metal Gear, man. I really wish the Metal Gear Solid franchise would have ended with 4, and now we got Portable Ops, now we got Metal Gear Solid Rising, now we got, like, keep Metal Gear, but go in a different direction, you know?
Yeah.
You said you were going to do that. Do it.
Yeah, I don't have any other, like, harsh feelings that I put out. Most of them were actually covered in the emails, which was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So. Okay, well, unless we have any others, then I guess we should move on.
All right.
All right, let's do it. Let's do some new releases.
We have David Cage's attempt to turn video games into movies with Heavy Rain. Hopefully this time he decided to leave out necrophilia. That really does make me wonder, if he really wants to make video games into movies, why doesn't he just make movies? Anyway, the other game is Metal Slug XX for the PSP, which as far as I can tell is a port of Metal Slug 7 for the DS, which was... the game I think was meant to be pretty good, but it didn't really work on the DS. So the PSP version, hopefully it should be a lot better. I mean, it restores two-player, which is nice.
Cause that's good.
Something the DS lacked. But yeah, if you like Metal Slug, guys, probably check it out. I believe it's only $20 as well. So yeah, not too bad of a deal there.
Cool deal. Well, Heavy Rain is obviously the biggest title coming out next week.
Word.
That's not a surprise right there. I didn't know about Metal Slug, though. I'll have to see if that was on my list. Let's go through the other stuff. PS3 is also getting Last Rebellion and Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing. That comes out next week.
Yeah, then you know what? My hopes of it getting a 60 frame per second frame rate? Probably out the window.
Probably out the window.
Yeah,
yeah, I would think so. And hey, what do you know? It is on my list, Metal Slug Double X. So 360 is also getting Sonic All-Star Racing. Deadly Premonition, which is the budget survival horror game, which is looks really, really weird, but and it's only like $20, but
it's the one ugly, from Ignition.
Yeah, it's from Ignition. Risen is coming out next week, according to this, and Lazy Riders, which I believe is next week's XBLA game. For the Wii, Endless Ocean, Blue World, Sled Shred, and Sonic All-Stars Racing, and Chicken Riot. That's quality right there. Chicken Riot. Mm. That's my pick of the week. Damn it. Yu-Gi-Oh! For DS, I'm sorry. Yu-Gi-Oh! World Championship and Sega and Sonic's All-Star Racing. So, pick of the week. What do you guys think?
Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain. I'm going to get the 360 version for the achievements.
Oh, there you go.
Heavy Rain as well, even though I just accidentally read the ending of it.
No, you didn't.
I literally just did. Like, literally this second. And even says, I'll explain it to you after.
Did you click on the spoiler button?
I did. And it's from someone who usually doesn't actually post real spoilers, so I was like, okay, it was probably a joke. And it's not.
Wow.
At least I don't think so.
Oh, well, man.
Is it good?
I don't know.
Out of context, you probably don't know yet.
I'm going to say Heavy Rain also, even though I'm probably not going to get it right away. It's definitely, there's no doubt that it's a showpiece for the PS3 and probably the best thing coming out next week. So there you go.
I'll let you come over and play it, buddy.
Sweet.
Nice.
Cool. Let's do some emails then, man. Let's get back to Travis.
Cool. All right. Be wrong. Coming back to us saying, hey, hey, hey. I tend to listen to you guys on my way to work. The thing that I found very hard while doing this is stopping myself from laughing. But I always ended up looking like a fool with people staring at me. So I just simply love you guys. Keep it up. Speaking of laughing, he has more questions for us. Number one, games that make you laugh your ass out. Games that make you laugh your ass out.
Okay.
Funny games. I'm gonna tell you what, I've been laughing at Splosion, man. Dude, like, he cracks me the hell up. I don't know what it is, but like it, I think it's funny. What else?
Crap, this is kind of a tough one.
It is.
There were a couple of parts in Uncharted that cracked me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Uncharted has a lot of good one-liners. Even some Mass Effect 2 has good one-liners.
Yeah, Mass Effect has some really funny parts in it.
Dude, I know there's like there's a game I was talking about not too long ago that I said actually literally like had a lot of laugh-out-loud moments. I think Brutal Legend was pretty damn funny from what I played of it.
for the first through the first action sequence, right up until you had to do real-time strategy bullshit.
yeah, exactly.
Man, I can't think of anything. I know that, like, next week I'm going to end up coming back and having a lunch. So.
Well, while we think, we'll move on.
Okay.
Number two, a game that you still haven't finished but would like to.
Demon Souls.
Demon Souls. Yeah, that's easy.
Demon Souls.
Yeah.
Or Bioshock, one or the other.
Yeah, the other one on my list would probably be Ratchet and Clank Future.
Cool.
The second one, Crack in Time.
Coolio. Jeff?
I said Demon Souls.
Okay, cool. Well, Chris added one, so I was
no, I added one. My added was Bioshock.
Oh, okay. All right, right.
Yeah.
I wasn't listening to you.
That's okay.
Number three.
Many people don't.
Jeff, I just wasn't listening to you. I'm glad you're on this podcast with the rest of us, but I just wasn't listening.
That's all right.
It's fine.
Number three, your guilty pleasure game.
Oh, we've answered this a few times.
We've answered this a few times.
Yeah. Mine were DDR and Dynasty Warriors.
Mine were the Dead or Alive volleyball series. And I actually had another one that I thought of recently, but I can't quite remember. But I have a feeling AVP might be added to that list.
As a guilty pleasure?
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, that's not really a guilty pleasure, I guess, but... Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the DOA.
I have to be honest with you, man. I am a huge fan of the Predator universe, so
yeah,
that really kind of interests me a little. I know it's a first-person game.
Rent it.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
What else you got, Travis?
Travis, you gonna pick one? What's your guilty pleasure?
Yeah, probably the 24 game.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never actually played it, so.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for a game that has, I remember IGN's review, because before it came out, I was waiting for the review. I want the review, and I saw it, and it gave it like a 2.8, and I'm like, what? A 2.8? Oh, this isn't right. And
that's
it looked, and everything, everything was in like the low 2 to 3s, except presentation, which they gave like a 9.5, because, I forgot who. Because
presented, it was just like
probably
the
was
show.
Like the show.
I think it was like 2K Cambridge or something like that. And they put all their money into the presentation, making it looking just like the TV show. And the gameplay was just balls. It was balls nasty, man. So, yeah, 24 the game. Because that is one game that I will sell back to GameStop, and then a year later I will buy it back again because I want to play it again. It's weird.
I know there's another game I thought of. Oh, fucking hell. If I remember it, I'll say it again, but I can't remember right now for the life of me.
Just belt it out loud.
Yeah, well, there's a game that was terrible, and a lot of people are like, hey, this game's garbage. I'm actually like, I actually like that game.
Well, while you're thinking about that game, why don't you go ahead and answer...
Totally kidding.
Why don't you go ahead and answer this random question we have from Dave L. He asks you specifically, Jeff, are you watching the Olympics? Do you see actual Aborigine people on a daily basis? And did everyone get a free Sonic and Mario Olympic game at a local Canadian eatery? I saw the opening ceremony thing with the Aborigines, and I thought that was pretty interesting.
The funny thing about that is now they're all rioting, and not necessarily rioting, but they're protesting in BC,
really?
And they've been breaking store windows and causing trouble, and a bunch of them have been arrested. So,
well,
that's
Canadian
funny.
Riffraff.
Yeah, pretty much. No free copies of Sonic Mario the Olympics, which I would have gladly taken. Apparently it's not that bad. Been watching the Olympics. Two reasons why I realize Americans have really bad rep when it comes to the Olympics. Reason number one, that Ono guy... the guy who's the speed skater, the American.
We're pretty arrogant.
Fucking douchebag. Like, I had never heard of this guy. I'm watching him race against, I can't remember what the race was, maybe like 500 meters or something, I don't know. It was more than that. It was three Koreans. A Korean in first, second, and third. They're coming around the last turn, they're coming to the stretch, and one Korean trips up the other Korean, they both fall. Ono ends up in second. And acts like he just got gold and just blew everybody away. And I was like, dude, you won because the two people in front of you fell.
Like, no, they fell after he passed them.
No, dude. They fell.
He fell after they passed him.
Are you sure?
He was in last place. And he was just pacing himself until that final lap. And once he hit that final lap, he took that was impressive. He took the outside route, which is normally the long, like it takes
it's the longest
to push
route,
harder.
Yeah,
it's the longest route. So, but he passed everybody, and by the time he was in second, the two guys behind him, two or three guys collided and fell. And then by the time he was damn near in first already. So yeah, well, he didn't pass up the guys.
Whether or not he didn't pass the guys up where they did, the fact is he got silver and he acted like he won gold. And like he blew everyone away. I was like,
seriously? Ono's a prick, dude.
Like, dude, get over yourself. Secondly, my parents are in Florida right now. Okay? They're Canadian. They're from here. They're in Florida. Apparently, NBC and I guess the Olympics, made some deal where they cannot broadcast any Canadian station, radio station, or nothing in the U.S. for the Olympics. So they can't even go on the internet and go to like Canadian stations, which are live streaming everything on the Olympics, and access it. So the only feeds I can possibly see of the Olympics are the American feeds. which is okay. Just like, really? Why? I don't understand that. Because I know here you can definitely watch the American feeds.
Right.
So I'm just like, eh, guys get a bad rap and people kind of wonder why. So anyway, other than that, Canada sucks. There's been so many times I'm watching, I'm like, oh, you guys should totally have the gold. The guy who was the snowboarding guy was way in the lead. The guy in this snowboarding cross and ended up losing at the last second because the American came back and ended up winning. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, yesterday?
No, I haven't seen it.
It was like a few days ago. Like the Canadian was way in the lead, and I think he just took it easy. Like, oh, I'm way in the lead. And then the American guy who was like expected to win it came from like third or fourth and just passed him on like the last turn. And it was like, oh, well, that's embarrassing.
I watched Sean White win the gold last night. That was amazing.
Did he win the gold again?
Yeah, yes. Dude, he was amazing.
Apparently, he not only won it, but he won it with, like, no contest.
Yeah.
He won it on his first run, pipe, and then right? In his second run, yeah, he just decided to go all out and start doing, like, crazy shit.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, I do, too. I haven't seen it, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah, check it out.
That's pretty crazy. But yeah, so, no Aborigines everywhere. I mean, there's Native American and Native Canadians everywhere, but, I mean, not, like, you know. Yeah. They're cool. Around.
All right.
Cool. Well, that is it for the written emails or typed emails.
I think I have something else.
Ooh.
All right, guys. It's Sai here. To clarify, last week, I meant like painting a room, not like actually painting a picture. music kind of makes me sad. If it comes down to it, I'll rip it off another episode. Right. But this week, my questions are, what is the last item you purchased? And was like, why did I do that? And what is your favorite color pen to write with?
Wow.
Okay. Let's start with the easy one. What's your favorite color pen to write with?
Did we answer the question last week of the painting?
We kind of did, yeah.
I thought I answered mine with painting a room, but maybe I didn't. I can't remember.
You said something about painting something else.
Oh.
But right. Yeah.
Painting a sock, I think it was.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And I was sitting there. I was sitting there being good. I was like, "Okay, don't say painting a girl's face. Don't say painting a girl's face." And he goes in with the sock thing. Come on,
you're not helping, Jeff.
Sorry. Pen.
I like
blue.
Black.
I'm boring.
Black. Yeah.
When I was, I remember being in high school and having like those multicolored pens, and I'd always want to use something besides blue or black, just to be different. But I couldn't use red though, because I wasn't allowed.
Yeah, because that's the teachers had to use red.
Yep,
that's right.
Yeah. All right, the last thing we bought and said, WTF?
Why? A Wii?
You know what? That's gonna be mine. That's going to be mine. We spent over $300-some during Christmas because that was our Christmas gift to each other, and I played it twice.
What?
Twice. Yeah.
Really?
I thought you were enjoying it. I thought you were playing Silent Hill like mad and stuff.
I played Silent Hill twice.
Wow.
And that is it.
Didn't quite
get
you,
did it? It is a good game. It's just that there's other good games that are out in high-def systems. So...
Yeah, true. There's a lot of crap I bought like that. The whole what the fuck. I mean, I bought, I can't think of this now. Well, I bought the Saturn and the Super Nintendo, which isn't necessarily a what the fuck thing, but I haven't played them since I bought them. And the games
but
I
you
bought,
want to have them.
Yeah, that's true. But just to be like, hey, I have a Saturn in my closet. Only because we need a bigger place, like a new TV.
Condoms.
Well, that's not going to be on Chris's list, that's for sure. Oh, man.
Let's
I know
see.
There's fucking more. I know there's dumb, useless shit
wet?
I bought.
That's mine.
Wet?
Dude.
I haven't even opened it yet.
Dude, I bought Wet and, what was that other game? Come on, guys.
Afro Samurai?
Afro Samurai.
That's right.
I traded them in last week.
What?
Didn't even open them. Just was like, you know what, I can get some trading value with these, I'm taking them, and you know what, I'm never going to play these games. So that was a huge what the fuck, because I basically spent money to buy them and then trade them in for half the value. Here you go, GameStop. Here is my money.
Jeff, you are a role model.
Collector's edition of Modern Warfare 2. The goggles were exactly as I said they would be. A good novelty. People come over and be like, hey, check this out. These things are fucking awesome. They're great. How'd you get these? Oh, I got the Modern Warfare Research Edition. That's fucking awesome and great. And they've been sitting on a thing ever since, because I've run out of people to show them to.
Oh, wow. Now, this summer, when me and Megatron come up to Canada.
Oh, you're going to check them out.
We're going to have fun with those.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We're going to have fun.
Yeah.
Voyeurism.
Legendary Halo 3.
Cat helmet.
Cat helmet for the win.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's awesome.
Cool deal.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it, guys. Should we do a question of the week?
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next week, we're going to be talking about our contest entries that we had. Basically, what we're going to do is go over all the ones that you guys send in. And our question of the week is going to be the contest that we're doing. So what is your ESRB rating and description for God of War 3?
Make I think it should funny. Be dead. I think it's crap. I don't understand what the big deal is. The gameplay is boring. The puzzles suck. But Dante's Inferno is awesome.
OMG, Dante's Inferno.
ludicrous.
So, yeah. Try and make them as funny as possible, because that's what we're hoping for. You know, the ones that make us laugh has the best chance of winning. I think that is about it. We have one other thing to talk about before we get out of here.
We do. We have something else to give away.
We do, and that's what I'm about to talk about. We were given a copy, generously, of Tatsunoko versus Capcom.
Great game. Check out the review on www.interactivedistractions.com.
It's a website. It's a website.
We are going to be giving it away this week, as in after we post this. We are still fumbling around with how we're going to do it, but I have a feeling it's going to be a Twitter giveaway. So keep track of our Twitter feed, which is at Indus Podcast, and look at it. Look out for our tweets and how we're going to give that away. So now let me give you the rundown on how to contact us for the question of the week. You can send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also leave us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
It's almost late, but it's not.
As I said before, follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and you can follow us individually as well. That is Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Geoff. Geoff. Geoff.
You guys suck.
You can also... Where was I going with that? We have a Facebook group. Did I mention that yet? It's Interactive Distractions Podcast. That is about it. So, do you guys have anything else before we wrap up?
I bought a Darth Maul lightsaber. That was a what the fuck.
Dude, that shit's awesome. What are you talking about?
No, it wasn't one of the cool ones. It was one of the ones that kind of like, it was one of the first ones they released. It wasn't one of the like really cool replica.
Oh, it didn't make the noise?
It did make the noise. It was really, really low pitch, whatever. It took like a billion batteries, and apparently they tried to recall them because they melted. I don't know. But I bought that thing, and I was like, what the fuck? Because I thought I was cool for about like a day, and then, yeah. I still have it, though.
Nice, nice.
Sorry, just thought of that.
All right, cool. All right, well, I think that is it. So thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you are on iTunes or Zune Marketplace, please leave us a review. We would appreciate it. Helps people learn about us and gets us some more listeners. So we would appreciate it if you could do that.
Please.
So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.